Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Radio.com.
Radio.com. And that is us. And welcome in on a Monday evening as we continue to watch this South Florida high school football season unfold. And it has taken some crazy twists and turns, and certainly we are here to talk about them right up until 9 o'clock. Larry Bluestein with you, Matt Wilson on the other side, doing what he does best after a tough FAU loss over the weekend. I don't
think we need to talk about that.
Okay, we won't. But we do talk about a lot of the kids that did well from South Florida. That is not just on FAU, FIU, wherever. But certainly that's what this show, if you're listening for the first time, is geared to. Recruiting in South Florida, huge as far as football, year-round, 7-on-7s, camps, combines. We'll be leading right after this playoffs into the all-star, postseason all-star games. And then before you know it, we're on the second of the national signing days. First one is in December. And as that gets closer, it's like we come right out of the state championships and go right into that. But if you want to follow us, we're on all the social medias under South Florida High School Sports or Larry Bluestein or any way that you could follow. We're also on South Florida High highschoolsports.com. You go there. We have a new blog, a new evaluation breakdown of athletes throughout South Florida that you're going to want to know a lot about. Whether it's a big school or a small school, we get it done for you and we give you a lot of notoriety while doing it. And as far as everything else is concerned, if you were at the St. Thomas Aquinas game against Miami Central on Friday, you already know. And you already knew coming in what type of war it would be with so much talent on both sides of the ball. Kind of like look at it as that's the way high school football is down here. People around the country say, well, we have a game like that. Yeah, but we have several games like that. For St. Thomas Aquinas, they obviously have their district and then Deerfield Beach and in Miramar to contend with before going on to state. And now Central, after that win, will still have to play Carroll City and also play the defending 6A state champion Northwestern Bulls. So on top of what they've played already. So those type of programs, you know, you look at those nationally rated type of programs and you say to yourself, yeah, they play a couple of games. But these are public schools, the Northwesterns, the Centrals, the Carroll Cities, the Deerfields, the Plantations. These are public schools going to get done. And this is a time nationally where private schools are getting a lot of the publicity and a lot of the places where they want to be. So bravo for the high schools that, and the public schools, because I know that's not a tough thing, especially, you know, what they're up against some of these times. But loyalty goes a long way in winning as well. Great show, as I said, this evening. About 8:45, we'll be joined by Coach Mike Manasco. Undefeated Miami Palmetto will play against Southridge. That's the marquee game. That's Friday at Tropical Park, 7:30. That is a can't-miss type of game. At 8:30, Corey Bender arrivals Gators territory. He puts that thing together. If you're a Florida fan, you're going to want to check that out as well. At 8:20, University School sitting on top of the heap, 4A. Don't forget, this is a really, really well-coached team, a lot of talent. Coach Daniel Luque will join us at 8:20. But we open up things with one of the top defensive backs, a University of Miami commitment early on, just a junior, and a really, really outstanding football player and a great young man, Henry Gray. He joins us this evening. Henry, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
It's atmosphere like the other night. Now, a lot of people see that, you know, once in a while. You are in that quite a bit. You're not only the other night, but you've got a couple of games coming up where that atmosphere will duplicate itself, maybe even triple, in the upcoming games against Northwestern and Carroll City. How does that get you ready for the rest of the season? You guys have already been through this huge gauntlet that started out with Cardinal Gibbons and Booker T and St. John's and all these teams. You have to be as ready as any team in the country for no matter what comes at you.
Yeah, over the past few years, our coach prided himself in playing the best teams in the country because he believes that even though we're a public school, we breed the best athletes. So he takes pride in playing all the best teams around the country because he thinks we're the best. So it's a great competition to get us ready for states and all the tough games down the road.
You know, Henry, and you know that feeling. I mean, you last year at Miramar, you went in and beat St. Thomas and probably handed them their worst loss in years. You know what that atmosphere was like. I mean, if anybody knew coming in to last Friday night, I mean, you knew what it was going to be about. Talk about that and how maybe you kind of dropped some hints at practice during the week, you know, about that.
I mean, going into the game, we knew we couldn't start off slow. I mean, for the past few games, we kind of been a second-half team, and we knew going into this week that our offense needed to score, so they really stepped up to the plate, and the defense came to play as usual, so it was real good all around the board.
It probably does your heart good to look over on the other side and see that offense putting together drives, keeping you guys on the side, getting you a little hydrated. And you look at Maurice Underwood, and from my standpoint, now you've had a short time watching him, but for me who've watched him since he was in the ninth grade, I don't think there's many players who've progressed and matured as much as he has. Talk about that, because you have to go against him in practice. He's matured to the point where the things that the defenses used to throw at him, he's ready for. Talk about his progress and what he's like to go against.
He's a great quarterback. In my opinion, he's the best quarterback in Bay County. So he has a real high IQ, so it's great going against him in practice. He's like, our practices are, like, more strenuous than the game. So the game is, like, really not that hard because we just battle in practice.
And, you know, you bring up a great point. I mean, because you look at your offense. I mean, straight across the board, we were talking about this. The offensive line is as good as any. I mean, you may not have the 6'5", 350-pound guys, but you have the Maurice Smiths. You have the Babies. You have guys like that who are smart football players, know how to block. Then you have a running game that is probably as deep as you're going to find. I know Carroll City's got a really good running game, but, you know, you add Shamar Paul to the mix this year, you know, along with two really, really decent backs from last year, and Owens, who I thought ran as well as anybody the other night, and Flex, and who's as good as they get, and then the wide receivers. You've got Anthony, who has been able to go against just about any quality defensive back. Jalen, who has hurt people because he's a physical guy. He'll go across the middle. And then you have Anthony amongst others. So you have had a baptism of talent fire. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, our receivers are great. You know, we go against each other every day, 1-on-1, 7-on-7, 11-on-11. It's great competition. Like, we really have great battles in practice. And sometimes, you know, it gets kind of scrappy, but at the end of the day, it just makes everybody better.
Henry Gray joining us, junior defensive back, Miami Central, one of the top teams in the country. They went out and proved it the other day. They proved it all year. Your commitment to the University of Miami early on, obviously, this is a program on the rise and plays exciting football. Talk about that and how, where you see Miami in the future.
I mean, the University of Miami is great. When I took the visit on sophomore day, in March, I really fell in love with the coaches and the family atmosphere that they gave me. So it just all came together that day, and I felt like it was the best decision for me.
And you see these guys picking balls off and wearing that chain and getting all excited, and that's got to be exciting for you because, I mean, that shows to me kind of a team unity. Miami started this whole thing. Everybody else now is we've seen it in backpacks and purses. But what they have is something special, and that's something I'm sure you're loving to walk into.
Yeah, a lot of people try to imitate the turnover chain. You know, even we just got a turnover chain and a turnover belt. So,
oh yeah, I saw.
It is great motivation for the players to make plays on the defense.
Yeah, no doubt. Henry Gray joining us, junior defensive back. You got still this year. I know you're excited about this year. You got quite a few games coming up. I mentioned a lot of those teams. You know, you see, this is the thing. Back maybe 10, 15 years ago, a lot of the guys didn't know each other as well. But now, because of the 7-on-7s and the combines, there's more of a closeness with guys all over the state. Talk about that, because and plus you were in Broward last year, so you pretty much know everybody. Talk about that, because I think that's important, especially at a high level and all these guys, because every day that you line up against a South Florida athlete is going to be as good as you're going to get. Talk about that experience.
Yes, sir. Knowing everybody from 7-on-7 and being around the South Florida atmosphere, it just, you know that every time you line up, you gotta be ready to play. So I never underestimate any wide receiver when I'm at corner, and they know they can't underestimate me. So it's great competition all the time.
Good stuff. Henry, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck the rest of the year. You know, we'll see you plenty, because you win. We're there all the way with you, and I know that you guys are having a lot of fun. It showed the other night.
Thank you.
Oh, good stuff. Henry Gray, this kid's a big-time guy. University of Miami commitment. I know if the Hurricanes, a lot of the fans are kind of checking that out because of the fact that this is a young man who does it the right way. You watch him compete. He's a big kid. He has everything you want, and certainly a guy that has made the most of opportunities throughout his career and has given both Miramar and now Miami Central a huge lift. Big show this evening up until 9 o'clock. As I mentioned, about 8:45 or so, we'll talk to Coach Mike Manasco, the head coach at Miami Palmetto. He has a really big game this week, Miami Southridge, a little Achilles heel game. They haven't beaten them in quite a long time, I think maybe 10 years or so. But not only that, because the strange twist of fate is they didn't beat them last year, but Palmetto won the district. So things can happen, especially when you have a lot of talented teams. We'll talk to Coach Manasco about his team. Also, take a look ahead to Friday night's big clash with the Southridge Spartans. At 8:30, Corey Bender, if you're a Gator fan, you want to check that out. He has a lot of good stuff. He's with Gators Territory on Rivals. We'll talk to him at 8:30. At 8:20, coming up about 4 minutes or 5 minutes or so, we'll talk to Coach Daniel Luque from University School, undefeated, one of the top 4A schools in the state.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Dale.
South Florida damn, High School Sports.com radio show. Larry Bluestein, Matt Wilson up until 9 o'clock. Yes. Look at you, man. Matt's doing it inside. Thanks so much to Henry Gray from Miami Central for joining us in our first segment. Now we turn our attention a little bit north, 4A football, and one of the programs been on top this year since the beginning. A lot of hard work over the last couple years since taking over the job at University School. And head coach Daniel Luque joins us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Larry Blue.
It's me.
What's going on, baby?
Just watching you guys climb the ladder, man. You guys are doing a lot of chart hopping. You played some competitive football, and what a great group. You have a tremendous mix of underclassmen and some veteran leaders and some coaches who put some good things in their head. Talk about this team as we are moving forward and down the home stretch.
Well, we're actually at a bye week, so going into the season, we're exactly where we wanted to be. We have a big game coming up in a couple of weeks with American Heritage Del Rey. So we're getting ourselves ready for that. And looking to make a run.
you take a look at this on both sides of the ball, kids who are making differences. And we know the marquee names, but there's a lot of young guys this year that are making an impact on the offensive line, defensively. We've seen a lot of skill kids. Talk about that, because we pretty much know the guys that are pulling the trigger over the last couple years and getting you towards the top. Talk about some of those new kids that are making their way to be the next leaders.
Well, you know, the household names always been Kenny McIntosh, Dave Flowers, and Josh Sanguinetti. But, having those older guys here and having, new talent wanting to play and learn from some of these older guys. And you got, special kids and, obviously our quarterback, Nick Barriato. And, we have an eighth grader who I believe is going to be the number one recruit in class of 2023. Brandon Ennis, we had a couple guys with hamstring issues earlier in the year, and I'm gonna tell you what, Brandon stepped up and played, big time minutes on offense and defense and made plays. Another kid we have, class of 2021, Robert Floyd, he's played on that national championship team with the Fort Lauderdale Hurricanes and Pembroke Pines Optimists. So, now we're very fortunate to have kids not only who are good football players, but also very advanced in the classroom as well. And, that's what separates us from other schools.
Coach, the one thing, too, is you've been there from the beginning, and a lot of people don't realize that from when they started the program there. So if anybody knows the culture, if anybody knows what is expected, it's you. You've seen things change around. What has been the difference, you think, over the last couple of years?
What's been the difference is, a lot of these transfers has been a real big deal in a lot of programs, especially small programs like ourselves. When you get a bunch of guys who are committed and believe in what you're doing and they stick around through the process, you have nothing but, positivity that's going to come your way. And, our guys trusted the process, and now they're just reaping the benefits of it, man. We don't have a really large number in guys. We carry a 38 to 42-man roster, and but our guys are competitive. They worked hard, and they understand. And most importantly, they love each other. So you're going to get the very best out of those guys week in and week out.
And also, as we're speaking with Coach Daniel Luque from University School, Nova Southeastern University, the one thing that I was going to say is you have, just in the short period of time that this school's been open and playing at a high level, you have kids that have gone on to the next level and beyond. I mean, there you have NFL players like Quincy Wilson and also Daniel Braverman, and you have kids who are knocking on the door to get there as well. Talk about what that is for you and how much gratification that is for you to see these guys from that quote-unquote small school make it to where a lot of these guys want to be all their lives.
But people would never know that, Daniel Braverman was actually he was a backup receiver, and he was like a return specialist from American Heritage Plantation.
Yeah.
Back to Sony Michelle and Mark and Michelle and those guys were there, but he just needed an opportunity. And, him and Garrett Kings, Mike White, who led us to an undefeated season and a state championship, he's a backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys right now. So, it's a pretty amazing deal. Shout out to Quincy Wilson. He returned an autographed, authentic game jersey.
Nice.
I'm gonna put it in a plaque, and I'm gonna put it up in the office, so all the kids can have aspirations, those that want to go to the league and whatnot, and know that there was somebody in that same locker room like they are, and they were doing it, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, and that's really important. I think that type of thing, that when kids could see that, and I've seen it a lot of places. I remember, you weren't in South Florida, but there was a lineman at the University of Miami named Derwin Jones, and he came out of a small school. And that small school, I believe he was like one of the only guys that ever came, that ever did anything. And they had all his jerseys of where he went to the University of Miami, all everything. It was like they had a shrine to him because it means so much. I mean, it really does. I mean, at a school like yours, and mostly the smaller schools, they're based on education. The parents send the kids there because you have the quality education. It's a school like, very few. So that type of experience combined with having a solid athletic program kind of like harkens a lot of people to the Ivy League or some of those, the Patriot League, because those programs programs are all predicated on academics and athletics to make that well-rounded education. Talk about that, because I think that's important as well, too.
Well, our head of school, Dr. Bill Copas, you know, he really believes in, you know, the true student-athlete. And, you know, the expectations is not only to demonstrate, you know, leadership on the field and success on the field, but also in the classroom and as a man overall, you know, in the community. And, you know, so we kind of look at ourselves a little bit as like a Stanford type of university where the academics is there, but the playing levels is there. You know, Vernon Carey and those guys are doing their thing in the basketball court. And,
sure.
You know, Kenny Josh and those guys are trying to, you know, hold the rope, as we say, from the football end. And, you know, we got a very good competitive soccer program here. So, you know, U School is definitely on the come up, you know, with the backing of NSU. And, you know, it's an exciting place to be at right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, in closing, you take a look down the line, obviously last year, Coco being the Achilles heel. The grouping has gotten a lot tougher. There's a lot of teams that are in the mix now that have, you know, that have larger rosters or larger players. Talk what it's going to, what you believe is going to take to be the representative from the South in 4A.
Well, it's going to go through, you know, the South region. We'll kind of see, you know, Booker T had a very big win against Southridge. You know, I was paying attention to that. And, you know, you got Miami Edison who pretty much up, you know, loaded up a little bit, you know, throughout the offseason from where they were last year. So a lot of this stuff is going to really pan out, Blue, like with the point system. And, you know, you kind of need to count on other teams to see how they do or, you know, or how we even do. And you know, all of that is based on, you know, point system and exactly where you fall in. Are you a first-round bye? Are you a second-round bye? Or, you know, are you going to be a sixth team going against a one seed? You know what I mean? So it's tough, man. You can't really judge it right now because we have to play the rest of the season out.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you're doing a tremendous job. I know that this week is certainly going to be exciting to rest a lot of the guys, see, you know, what you need to for the home stretch. Also, before I let you go, we got to ask, how's Channing Crowder doing as a coach? I know that he gets dressed every week to go there, and I saw him at the Heritage game. He did a darn good job. Give me your assessment on him as a coach.
Well, first of all, I want to shout out to the whole U School coaching staff.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
They've done a tremendous job as a whole. Our defensive side, as they got our guys playing at an elite level. I mean, when you got three NFL coaches, plus a coach like Wayne Blair and Fred Sturgis, and you know Mo Marquez and those guys, you know, coaching the defense, you know, it brings a lot of team camaraderie. Not to take away anything on the offense, offensive coaches as well, I've done a great job. And, you know, like I said, they know those kids for quite some time. But, you know, Channing Crowder said the biggest thing that he said when he stepped on stage and the way he was able to get the very best out of our kids, he said, everybody has million-dollar expectations but don't have million-dollar work ethic. And, you know, that said something really big. Like, if you really want something really hard in life and you want something that is at an elite level, you got to put in the elite work. So, you know, that resonated a lot with our kids, especially in the sleepover. And, you know, it's been a pleasure. He brings good vibe, brings good energy and a knowledge of the game, you know, from a professional level. Those guys watch film like no other, you know, and they're able to break down tendencies and break down, you know, teams and what they like to do and what they're good at and what they're not good at. So it's been a blessing to have those guys on the team. And like I said, I'm very excited and happy about our coaching staff. And, you know, we're looking to make a run for this. So.
Good stuff. Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. And best of luck to you. We'll be there every step of the way.
All right, Larry Blue, thanks a lot, man.
Good job. Daniel Luque, the head coach at University School, joining us, South Florida High School Sports.com radio. Just trying to get a hold of Corey Bender, doing every attempt over Gators territory. He had a few things going on tonight, but he said he would try to make some time to join us. But maybe what we'll do is you want to take a break and then we'll come back and we'll get Coach Manasco. Do you want to do that, or is there any way we could get Corey still? Just seeing if he's all right. Well, let's do that. We'll take a break, and then when we come back, we'll check in with Coach Mike Manasco of Palmetto.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein along with Matt Wilson. Till 9 o'clock, a little bit of a switch up, and we're going to have Corey Bender about 10 minutes from now. But joining us is Coach Mike Manasco, who has once again gotten Palmetto off to a tremendous start. Had an opportunity to watch them last week against Coral Gables. Fell behind, but showed a lot of character. And certainly comes in as the defending district champion, and he joins us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me on there.
Obviously, last week, not the best first half that you guys have played in the last couple of years, but just found yourselves down by 13. Started to put things together in the third quarter, and then your defense, which had limited Coral Gables to hardly any offensive yards throughout the evening, really stiffened up, made a lot of big plays, and you guys come away with a hard-fought win, but yet a win and stay undefeated. Talk about what you learned about this team in that game.
You know, I was very impressed with Gables. You know, they came out, they played hard. You know, we couldn't get out of our own way in the first half. I think we had 13 penalties, 10 of them on offense, and can't win like that, especially against, you know, teams in Miami that are talented. And, you know, they jumped out on us, but I was at halftime, I saw it in the kids' eyes. They were frustrated. They were playing like that. It wasn't like a finger pointing or anything like that. It was more like, you know, hey, let's get our stuff together and let's get rolling. And, you know, I knew our defense would keep us in it, and, you know, our offense found a way to make enough plays. We kind of cleaned some things up, and definitely impressed with the resiliency the kids showed. You know, I don't think teams we've had in the past might have showed that resiliency this early in the season.
Do you think that maybe that was a good thing last week, since you have a key district game coming up this week against Southridge, to get whatever kinks out? Was it for you after the game? I mean, because I know you weren't happy during the game, obviously, but as you look back at it, saying to yourself, you know what, I would much rather make them this week and be able to overcome than make them this coming week. Talk about that, because I think, you know, of those penalties, there were like 7 or 8 illegal procedures, which had to drive you nuts.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think it drove everyone nuts that was wearing blue that night. You know, I think looking back on it, you know, looking back at the film and seeing some things that were open and some things that were good, you know, I wasn't, obviously, you know, the film usually makes it look a little bit better for you. So I try to keep in mind all the headaches we had during the game. But definitely, you know, I really think that as we started to get it going, you know, coming off a bye week, I think that's the biggest thing. Having our bye week this early, you know, the last week wasn't, you know, the best thing for us, you know, because we got it rolling in Naples, and then we come back, we play Ferguson, and then all of a sudden it's like the brakes are off, and, you know that's partly my fault. You know, the bye week didn't really go the way that I wanted it to. But you could see, and you're right, I mean, working the kinks out in a non-district game and coming out on top, so it's always easier to swallow. I definitely think that it's going to help us going into this week. You know, I mean, we're playing a very, very talented team, and a team that we really haven't had a lot of success against the last couple of years.
No doubt. Coach Mike Manasco joining us, head coach at Miami Palmetto, undefeated, the Panthers. I know that a lot of alumni are starting to come back around when they're in town, whether they're, you know, they got some free time. We got a chance to see some at last week's game as well. This game is another home game. This is at Tropical Friday night. This is the marquee game, you know, in South Florida this week. I know last week everybody flocked, you know, to different places. St. Thomas Central was a good destination, but this is a game that's going to get a lot of eyes looking, no matter who it will be, because it's a key 8A game. So everybody in the region, all the way from all the way throughout Dade County, are going to get an opportunity to have an opportunity to watch, because it's a Friday night. A lot of people play Thursday this week. Couple are even playing Saturday. What does it mean to you to be that showcase game and be in that spotlight, knowing that you have this type of team, you know, that can compete against anybody?
You know, it's great for the kids. You know, I mean, that's what you want when you're building a program. You want your kids to be able to play in games like this. I mean, there's going to be a lot of great individual matchups. Yeah. Within that game Friday night, you know, I think I'm excited to see how that plays out, you know, but, you know, when you build a program and you're trying to do things to put your program on a pedestal and promote it, I mean, you got to play in games like this and you got to win games like this.
You now, and a lot of people don't understand how many key players you lost from last year that are doing their thing at the next level. And certainly they were kids who were leaders for this program last year. Guys that started with you from the beginning and then kind of grew into the program with you. You have this group this year, especially the seniors that have been the core of this team so far this year. You talked about the Naples game, last week's game. Talk about some of the guys that have been the veteran leadership on this team. Guys like, I could point out one who ran down the sideline last week trying to encourage everybody, in Cornelius Nunn. Talk about guys like that who the guys listen to.
Right. No, I mean, Nunn is number one, he's a tremendous athlete, he's a tremendous person, but he is a leader. You know, when he speaks, the kids listen. And you got to have kids like that on your team. You know, you got to have, you know, it's one thing for us as coaches to say it and harp on it and to try to drive it in, but it's another thing when it comes from the players themselves and they listen. I mean, Cornelius Nunn, you know, there's a reason the kid has 25 Division I scholarship offers. You know, there's a reason that Eddie Williams has been with us for 4 years and has gotten better and better and better. And the kids listen to him. You know, Quavis Russ is another kid that's been with us for 4 years. Kerry Grackley, this is his second year with us, but, you know, it's like he's been there all 4 years. I mean, I honestly feel if 12's in the game, we have a chance to win. I don't care who we're playing. I believe he's that good of a quarterback. But, you know, we're really young, if you really look at our roster. And those young kids are just super hungry and aggressive, and they get that because they really want the Cornelius Nunns and the Eddie Williamses and the Kyrie Grackleys. You know, they really want to play for those guys. They really want to make them proud. And we're starting to see that within the program. It's really something that maybe I haven't seen yet, you know, to this point. But we did lose a lot of good kids last year. You know, the Ivan Thomases, Trey Flowers.
Sure.
Shamar Monroe. I mean, guys that are really doing big things in college. And we lost a lot of offensive linemen last year. But you know, I really enjoy the youth we have. I mean, right now we're down to two seniors really on offense. And, you know, we have some more seniors on defense. But those young kids are really impacting the games for us and doing some really great things at an early age.
Yep, good stuff. Coach, I appreciate you spending some time. Best of luck this week. Obviously, it's a game that everybody's going to be watching with a lot of interest. And you guys deserve to be in that spotlight. Congratulations.
I appreciate it, Larry.
Good stuff. Mike Manasco, the head coach at Miami Palmetto, joining us. And as we were talking before, we want to make that transition back into college. A lot of the Gator fans have been texting me, when is Corey Bender going to be on? We want to hear who the Gators are going to get and who they have on the line. And certainly a team that has busted out of the gate, just losing to Kentucky for the first time in a long time, but nevertheless playing competitive football. Corey Bender joins us this evening. Corey, thanks so much for taking the time. Gators territory on the Rivals Network. And you've been busy. The team has been busy winning. And how has it added up to the recruiting?
No, it's added up pretty well. I know right now they're on the road for one more game. They play Mississippi State this upcoming weekend, which will be Dan Mullen's, obviously, homecoming back to Mississippi State. But the week after that will actually be their biggest recruiting weekend of the year when LSU comes to town. They're slated to have 8 to 9 official visitors come in that weekend. You have a four-star defensive lineman, Byron Young, who's committed to Alabama. You have Wardrick Wilson down in your area. Obviously, he'll be taking his official visit that weekend. A lot of their commits, but also some main targets. You know, Lloyd Sumrall up in the Lakeland area, he'll be on campus. That's one of Florida's top targets, regardless of position. They kind of like him coming off the edge, standing up, kind of at that buck position, you know, providing pressure off the edge. So right now, I mean, as far as Florida right now, they've actually turned it up to start the whole class throughout the spring. A lot of people are kind of down the class. It's kind of a late start, but you know, as of right now, they're sitting with 8 to 9 four-star prospects in that class, about top 20 in the country right now, 21st right now at Rivals. So they're doing a good job. They're turning the corner, and obviously October 6th, that's going to be their biggest recruiting weekend of the year to date, and most of their commits in town as well. Probably around 40 to 50 four-star to five-star type prospects and a few three-stars sprinkled in as well, so it should be big time.
Corey, take a look at this, you know, because the interest in the University of Florida is growing with every victory. You know how people are, and certainly there's – not been a lot of stability in the program in the past, what, four or five years, in that time where they probably, you know, got used to, oh, geez, what's next? Talk about this, because it seems like what Coach Mullen has and with his staff, with his recruiting and everything, they are pretty much as stable as you're going to get at this point. Has it reflected in a lot of these kids maybe talking about flipping during the first or the second National Signing Day?
Yeah, outside of Larry Scott, like you said, this staff has been together for quite some time. A lot of the staff members followed Dan Mullen from Mississippi State. And the interesting, too, with their recruiting focus, yeah, they're recruiting some of the top guys in Florida, like Elam down your way and some of the top-notch guys, but they're really relying on those connections. They're really recruiting outside of the state of Florida. I know Dan Mullen, since he's been here, has really been adamant as far as making Florida that national brand again. They've been, you know, recruiting California a lot, and especially Mississippi and Georgia, a lot of these kids. That's what they brought up. They've had a prior relationship with Dan Mullen's staff for a couple of years now. And a lot of these kids, one of their first offers, sometimes their very first offer was Mississippi State. So that's the thing, Florida. I mean, Jalen Jones, the four-star quarterback who's committed to Florida right now, he's a kid that was committed to Dan Mullen at Mississippi State at one point. And, you know, he's a blue-chip quarterback, one of the best in the country. And you know, that's where that stability comes in. And then you have Larry Scott in the equation, too, who's a great recruiter himself to kind of, you know, sprinkle in down here in Florida or a lot of the other surrounding regions he has ties with. The staff has a great balance. But as far as, like you were saying, with stability, a lot of the recruits they've been recruiting, especially JUCO, there's a kid right now actually just committed to Mississippi State, unfortunately for Florida fans. But that was a kid, like Quinston Sharp, that, you know, he had a relationship with the staff for going on 3 years,
right?
Just because they recruited him so hard in Mississippi State. So, like you said, it's a stable staff, and they're relying on that and using those connections. And it's actually paying dividends with a lot of kids. And some of those kids are committed also right now, but, you know, eventually could make a move to Florida, you know, if they hit that grand slam.
Corey Bender joining us, Gators Territory on the Rivals Network. And you take a look at some of these athletes. Now, all you want to do is get them up to Florida Field. I mean, you just want to get them to a game and check out an atmosphere of an SEC game like a Tennessee or whatever. How impressive is it, you know, when you have a home game in the SEC for these kids? Because, you know, no matter who they play, LSU, whatever, it's going to pack. They're going to be packed. It's not, you know, we have a, you know, Miami and other pro places around the state, not so much as far as totally packing the place, but it's almost impossible. What does it do for a recruit psyche when they see that? They come out and, you know, here's South Carolina and there's 85,000, 90,000 fans going crazy for the Gators. What do you think that does for them?
Yeah, I think overall, like you said, you can recruit kids outside of this region. A lot of kids that might be from the Midwest, they always say, hey, I want to play in the SEC. There's a reason why kids say that. And it starts, like you said, with the atmosphere and how loyal the fans are down here. And even, like I said, there's nothing against like a Vanderbilt, but I mean, schools towards the bottom of the SEC who are, you know, obviously on the up and come, even schools like that, you'll see kids commit to a Vanderbilt. And some of the reasons why you ask them why they commit, obviously education, because it's such a great we can get with them. But a lot of kids just, yeah, every weekend's a big-time game. You might not be home that game, but you might be playing at Alabama. You might be playing at Florida. And I kind of saw that when Kentucky played at Florida a couple weeks ago, because obviously they recruit Florida so well down here. And you can kind of just tell the excitement level when some of these Kentucky players stepped on the field. Obviously the swamp is erupting. And like you said, you have a lot of these kids that are just young kids, and especially the kids out of region. That's why Florida does a good job. They brought a few kids in from the Northeast that maybe some of those stadiums up there don't have that atmosphere like Florida, and they come down here and they're just blown away right from the get-go, and they see how packed up the swamp is. And that's why I think, obviously, that pays dividends with those kids out of the region. But like you said, when kids obviously see that up close and they see the atmosphere, and it doesn't matter if it's one of the last schools in the SEC towards the bottom versus Florida or LSU versus one of those schools. It seems week in, week out, you're going to get a great atmosphere and the fans are loyal, and that reflects in recruiting. I mean, you interview a lot of these kids, and especially when you do these post-official visit stories, and that's one of the first things they always say is the atmosphere, especially when talking about Florida. I think I hear the word atmosphere more than any other word when I interview these kids after they visit the Gators, so it's definitely paying dividends when you see games like that.
Can you imagine, though, I mean, what it's like, I mean, to be in the SEC West? I mean, to me, no matter who you are, you're playing one of the most challenging schedules in the country. I mean, because if you're Mississippi and you're going against Mississippi State, you're going against Alabama, Auburn, LSU, and now Texas A&M. I mean, this is a whole different ball game. I mean, if five of your games are against nationally rated teams, so to me, I would think that the recruiting is just just like sharks. I mean, it's just crazy. And you know as well as I do, I mean, there's a pecking order in the SEC. But sometimes, and now South Carolina is kind of like the flavor of the day, so they're going to get maybe a kid from their region that was coming down between them and maybe LSU, you know. So, but that happens. And Florida's probably the best for that. When they get that momentum built in recruiting, Corey, it probably is – maybe as tough as anywhere in the country, and that's what they're building back towards. I looked at their roster the other day. They had a really for the time that Coach Mullen was here, he had a pretty decent class.
No, absolutely. Like I said, they have limited time to work with, but a lot of these kids are making an impact. Some of the kids they closed on early are obviously as far as today. I mean, Damian Pierce, who's a freshman out of Georgia with them, who they close with and signed him. I mean, he's leading the gears right now in rushing. I mean, you have a lot of these young guys that they kind of brought in early and they kind of gave him that opportunity. Like Trey Dean, he's another one out of Georgia, came in as a true freshman. It's really very unfortunate. Obviously, Marco Wilson went down with an injury, but he's a guy that stepped in as a true freshman. And a lot of these guys that, you know, Dan Nolan signed, like I said, a lot of these guys are getting early playing time. And, even Lucas Krull, he's a kid. Remember that kid out of JUCO?
Sure.
Literally, he played baseball. He signed from Arkansas, the tight end. He hasn't played much throughout the first few weeks. I mean, he played early in the week, not early in the season, week one. But a lot of the guys that they signed, I mean, they're giving them the opportunity to play. And obviously, it's all paying dividends. A lot of young guys are making plays.
Well, you know what? I look at their schedule, Corey. It's a challenging schedule like every year. But certainly, I could see eight, maybe nine wins out of this year because, I mean, they've been playing extremely well. And you know, I mean, and who knows? I mean, especially when you have playmakers and athletes like the Florida Gators have, and things have been clicking and they've been scoring. You know, this is something that they hadn't been doing a lot of last year. So I guess it's a positive thing. And I know the Gator fans have a lot to be proud about and a lot to be happy about as well. Before we let you go, how is everybody going to continue to follow you? I had a chance to go over to Gators Territory. Awesome site, a lot of information. Let everybody know how.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you can basically go to florida.rivals.com, or you can just type in simply gatorsterritory.com. Not Gator Territory, but yeah, with an S at the end.
Yes.
And then on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter. It's just my first and last name. So it's Corey, then _. And then Bender, and then same thing with Gators Territory. We have at Gators Territory is our Twitter, too, so you can follow us and get all the info on social media. But like I said, our website always is pumping up content every several hours, so definitely it's your one-stop shop if you want anything as far as Florida Gators.
Good stuff. Corey, thanks so much, man. Hang in there, and thanks so much for making the time for us.
No, thank you so much, Larry. Have a good rest of the night.
Good stuff. You, too. Corey Bender kind of ends what was a pretty decent show. Mike Manasco from Palmetto, he has a big one against South Ridge. Coach Daniel Luque, University School, enjoying this week off. Had some good things to say about our Channing Crowder. And then we started things off with the University of Miami commitment, just a junior, Henry Gray from Miami Central. That's going to do it. Matt Wilson, thanks so much for doing what you do. I think we're back next Tuesday, I believe. We'll have to check the schedule. But there's a few times where we will be Monday and Tuesday, but I believe because of the Panther schedule. What does it say? Did you look that far ahead or no? You are looking?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much. As I said, we'll be back. Don't forget, follow us on SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.